For those of you who don't know about the story of the Transfiguration, you've just heard it. And for some reason, we have Transfiguration Sunday every year as part of our liturgical calendar. And I always was curious about that. In fact, I used to sort of scoff and say, you know, I would call this Shiny Jesus Sunday. Because his, you know, it talks about him glowing white. I mean, when was the last time you saw somebody have the, and their appearance just changed radically? I mean, it seems to me that something phenomenal or at least peculiar was going on here. Something happened on that mountaintop, either to Jesus or to the disciples who were watching and were with him. Did Jesus undergo some sort of a metamorphosis that caused him to be radiant, to shine like the sun, to have an aura, to beam? Or do you think he was always radiant, but people just really didn't notice until his followers, Peter, James, and John, go up to the mountain and literally see Jesus in a new light? I suspect that all of us have at times observed a change in the visage of a friend or a loved one after they've had a life-changing experience. The outward manifestation of inner changes in us that our family and our friends might notice, even if we don't. Assuming for a moment that Jesus did change, why is that important? I've asked myself that question a lot. Does it mean that, oh, Jesus is surrounded by divine light? Did something in his life shift at that moment that made him glow? Does it mean that this was for him a moment of transformation, as was his baptism by John? You know, Jesus, as you just heard, God speaks at the moment of Jesus's transfiguration, just as God speaks at Jesus's baptism, saying, "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And then in Mark's gospel, listen to him, using a very similar phrase. Christians are asked to be baptized as Jesus was, but has anyone gone through that sort of metamorphosis or transformation? Do we talk about that in our tradition? Like, well, since Jesus was baptized, we should be, since Jesus was transformed. Well, maybe. When we join Plymouth, we enter a covenant that says that we give ourselves unreservedly to God's service, which is a big deal, but it's not quite asking us to be transformed. You know, in many congregational churches in New England in this 18th century, prospective members needed to have a visible sign of conversion. That was the phrase, in order to be admitted to membership. Yeah, of course you could still attend worship, but being a member was and is a big deal. So if you were the town ne'er-do-well in a village in New England, a shift in your attitude and in your habits might be taken as a sign of conversion. You know, in a few weeks, you'll hear that thorny line in John's gospel, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above," or in the language of the King James Version, "being born again." And no, I'm not about to invite you to come forward for an altar call. Although you should know, the first altar call ever was at First Congregational Church in Oberlin, Ohio, back in the 19th century. And I'm also not going to dismiss the idea of spiritual transformation or many spiritual transformations. I'm not going to try and tame the idea of your having a moment of transformation or metamorphosis. Marcus Borg writes, "The metaphor of rebirth, being born of the Spirit, is an image of radical transformation. An old life has been left behind and a new life has begun. He says, being born again is utterly central